Hi. This is part one of Kuntres Chesed and Rav Desta. Today is January 27th. I guess so. I was starting the essay on loving kindness in Rav Desta. As before, when we did the Derech Hashem, I would recommend that you buy the Sefer. We're not requiring it. I'll translate everything as we go. But if you have it to look at before and afterwards, it'll probably be of benefit to you. Rav Dessler is one of the foremost philosophical thinkers of the 20th century. He covered a tremendous range of topics. He was familiar with the entire philosophical literature. Many of these essays were delivered orally and edited afterwards, so he most of the time does not mention the sources from which he's taking the material. Those who know the original sources can see the ideas, sources of the ideas, which they come. Sometimes the ideas are original, including Hasidic sources, which he knew well. He has a very deceptive style. He writes in a way that is quite easy to understand on the surface. And you feel comfortable when you read him. And the English translation is really quite good. I haven't found any errors in the English translation. So you can read it in English, strive for truth. Then, when you think about what he said, you can often think of fairly obvious counterexamples. And then when you go back and read again what he wrote, you see that he crafted the argument or the ideas or the words so carefully that the counterexamples aren't really counterexamples. And the style is therefore deceptively simple. It looks simple, but the quality of thought is not simple at all. And on a number of occasions, we'll go through this process of raising what look to be obvious objections and then discovering that they really aren't objections at all. This a D-E-S-S-L-E-R.
Inside the book's name?
In English, it's Strive for Truth. Sorry, say again? Yeah, we finished it last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think maybe you missed that session.
So the Bereshit series is over?
No. Am I? I'm sorry, right?
Yeah, it's 3 o'clock, that's why.
100% correct.
All worked up.
And I'm planning to record the other one as well.
I didn't want to tell you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. No, we're back to Bereshit. Okay, good. No. Okay, this is Bereshit, January 27th.
Now I'm going to come at 4:30.
Thank you. That's right. You have to come at 4:30 also. Yeah, otherwise you're going to miss it. That's right. Thank you very much. Keep me on track over here. Okay, we are on page 83. Genesis. Look at Genesis. There's blue books here. Up to verse 20. Hashem said, because the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah has become great, and because of their sin has been very grave, I will descend and see. If they act in accordance with its outcry, which has come to me, then destruction. If not, I will know. Now, someone asked a few times ago, how often does God, so to speak to himself? And the Torah reports it. We had it after the flood, where Noah offered sacrifices, and God said in his heart to himself that I won't bring more destruction, but only to himself, didn't communicate it to anyone. Here also is a report of what God said to himself, not to anyone. The point of these reports on the surface is to know what matters and what doesn't matter. If I know how God looks at a situation, how he evaluates it, what factors he takes into account, then I know what the significance of my circumstances are and my actions will be. A little deeper, when it's reported that God said it, then it has a certain reality that it wouldn't have if it were merely a thought. These are anthropomorphic terms. God doesn't really say by causing sound waves with a larynx and vocal cords and lungs. But use of this language indicates that it's more than just a possibility. It's something which has already been, has started to be actualized. Still, it could be called back. Still could be called back. But it's harder. There's the thought, there's a speech, there's a decree. Sometimes we're told that God decreed something. Even that could be called back. Even a decree could be called back. But it's harder. The circumstances required to overrule a decree are much more severe than the circumstances required to overrule a mere speech, which are then, again, more severe than those required to overrule a mere thought. By giving us these descriptions, what it's telling us is how it's related to the circumstances we're in and what kind of flexibility remains for us. Now, the translation of the words is very difficult, and there are a number of different translations. I'm not going to go into those details. I'll just point out that here, as in other cases, the picture is God analyzing the situation down to the details. It's not an overall perspective. It's not a, you know, in science they talk about statistical mechanics. What are you going to do with all those quadrillions of particles? Forget them. Just talk about what the average does. Each particle, give me a break. I can't even think about that. So you talk about statistics. That's just a way of avoiding the intractable problem of following each particle individually. So you talk statistics, averages. On the average. God isn't like that. There's no on the average. I will go down. I will descend and see. Means I will go down to check every detail. And there's a process. There's a report that comes to God. We spoke about this in the Derech Hashem. There's a report that comes to God, and then he analyzes to see whether it's so, carries it out. Does that mean when the report comes, he doesn't know for sure? Of course not. It means that's the way he deals with us. He deals with us according to procedures that are natural for us so that we can understand how he deals with us. Of course, he's omniscient and omnipresent. He knows everything. He's present at all times and places. Because if he didn't deal with us that way, we wouldn't be able to understand how he's dealing with us. If everything he did to us came out of his infinity, it would always be a black box. It would always be an unknown. Why did that happen? Maybe he's taking account of something which will happen 200 years from now in China. How would I know that? So I would never be able to understand my interactions with him. So he lowers himself down to our level, where the interaction, the vast majority of the time, is dependent upon factors that I can understand. That's the general idea. That's what Ramchal says this in a number of places. Okay. The men turned from there and went to Sodom while Abraham was still standing before Hashem. The men there are the two angels. Two out of the three. Now, Abraham came forward and said,